Corinthians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I love that verse because it's not one of these finger-wagging things. It's a verse that says you're doing a grand job, carry on. So why do we need to preach about it? Well, hopefully in about 10 minutes you'll have discovered. Friendship and fellowship. Do you know what the difference is between friendship and fellowship? I don't think there is a lot of difference, because they're both measurements of friendship. Fellowship, I don't think, is quite as strong as friendship, nor do I think it's quite so committed or intense. I think we probably understand fellowship fairly well as a church community, but maybe we need to explore friendship a little bit more. What about encouragement? I suspect most people understand encouragement. They know how it affects them or doesn't affect them. They know how it affects other people. And actually, the Bible doesn't say a huge amount about encouragement, apart from a man called Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. Another one of these things where they change their names and you can't quite remember. I suppose Joseph is probably a good name not to have, because there are some important Josephs in the Bible, whereas I don't know that there are many Barnabases. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And sometimes we say, oh, he's a Barnabas person or she's a Barnabas person, because they're always encouraging people. And we can see in Acts 9, verse 27, where Barnabas is actually heard and seen encouraging. But Barnabas took him, Paul, and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Paul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Now that must have taken quite a lot of courage to take him, Barnabas, and tell them what a great job he'd been doing. It's difficult, isn't it, when you've done something well and you'd really like to tell people, but you think, no, I better not, because that's boasting. And then somebody appears and says, you did a really good job there. And that warms everybody. So the job of encouragers are to affirm others in their own gifts, and to tell other people of those gifts, just as Barnabas did with Paul. It not only blesses Paul, but it truly built up all the brethren. They all felt good about it. So we need to encourage each other as individuals, but also share that encouragement with the brethren as well. And when you're able and get that opportunity to encourage all the brethren, go for it. I won't say you can't have too much encouragement. I'll come on to that a little later. Husbands and wives often refer to each other as my best friend. He or she is my best friend. I've never heard that one partner is in fellowship with the other. Have you? You're friends with your partners. You're friends with your friends. You're in fellowship with other people. And sometimes that's a bit more difficult. There will be people in our church community who we get on with better than others. There will be people in society with whom we get on better than with others. And that's probably life, though we very often can do something about it if we feel challenged enough. So the passage that we looked at is applicable to both friendship and fellowship, and it's a very important ingredient in both. And that ingredient is encouragement. I've already made reference to marriage, but one of the things that I find sad about marriage is, for some strange reason, encouragement seems to be lacking. People are not very good at encouraging their husbands or their wives. It's as though they almost take it for granted. Well, I love them, so, you know, that's it. Enough said. No, wrong, not enough said, by a long way. In fellowship, it's very often the opposite, particularly in faith circles. I do think that under certain circumstances, you can have too much of a good thing. If it's overdone, it can seem hollow and unauthentic. And for the Shakespearean amongst you, it's a touch of "the lady doth protest too much, methinks," a line from the play in Hamlet by Shakespeare. It is spoken by Queen Gertrude in response to the insincere overacting of a character in the play within a play. You can do too much of it to the point where people think, that's not very sincere. What's he going on about? He's already said well done six times. You don't really, you just calm down. Like, I feel like Mr. Burkow, calm down. So Paul has been talking to the Thessalonians about the end time, and he's deliberately been leaving various exhortations about good living and well-balanced lives. And a bit like a parent, he was concerned that these new Christians would lose the spark of love for each other, and it would gradually fade, and they would become dull people who have lost their glow. And that's what happened, a little story about of encouragement to me when I was training for ordination. It suddenly dawned on me that part of the duty of a priest was to say morning and evening prayer every single day. That was never part of my discipline, and I got quite concerned about this, because that is, and you mustn't hear me wrong here, but it's a repetition of words day in, day out. Now that has its place. But I thought, actually, that is going to take quite a long time, and there are many other things that I need to be talking to God about. So I asked my evangelical bishop friend, who helped to prepare me for ordination, what to do about it. And he gave me a lovely question to that answer. When I said to him, do I really have to do this? Because in those days it was required, it's much less of a requirement today. Hugh, he said, you must have some mechanism for being vigilant in prayer day by day. You must have some mechanism. You need to find some way of keeping the gas of prayer turned up so that it never goes out. And that picture has stayed with me ever since and reminds me that I need to keep the gas turned up in my relationship with God at least twice a day. And that's actually a very good piece of advice for all of us. If we don't keep that gas turned up, rather like Bible reading, if we let it slip, we cease to hear from God. And it is sometimes, as I'm sure most of you have discovered, quite a discipline. There's always something that needs to be done, or a child that is pestering you, or whatever. You have to find that secret moment when you can be alone with God. And you need to start that practice very early on in your life, because it's much easier to do that sort of thing when you're young than when you get older. And if it's become part of your DNA as a young person, then it will be part of your DNA as an adult. So how do we keep established friendships going? They don't just automatically sort of trudge along. How do we make sure that fellowship is functioning properly? And the answer to both of those is that we work at it. With God's grace, we persevere to the point of wanting to invest the time necessary so that the relationship endures and gets stronger. And in the case of fellowship, It may even become friendship. That's a thought. And there are a number of ways we can work at it. Love one another. Treat our neighbour as ourself. Show kindness. Be available. Know when to speak and when not to speak. Be honest at all times. Be thoughtful and caring. Be loyal. Bear one another's burdens. Live in harmony. Be consistent. Show interest in the other's interests. And I'm sure there are many more ways that you could think of. All very obvious, you say, but occasionally it's good for all of us to hear the obvious mentioned. So what of the advice to the Thessalonians? Encourage one another. And how do you react to encouragement? How do you respond to it? If you're like me, you love encouragement and you respond well because you feel good when somebody encourages you. And I've always felt valued when I get encouragement, of being loved and to have a great sense of well-being. It's a sort of warm feeling that you really don't want it to disappear. It's a glow. It's a sense of confidence. And, for me, a determination to try and reproduce whatever it was that triggered the encouragement the next time I do it. And I think that's because I have a slightly competitive streak, which occasionally is not a good thing, but most of the time it is. So I want to do better next time, even though I was encouraged this time. Encouragement seems to me to release a lot of good energy. And boy, we're lacking good energy in this world. You've only got to look at the House of Commons over the last why they ended up in such a car crash mess, which unfortunately hasn't helped the rest of us. So encouragement is very necessary. If it's missing, life deteriorates seriously. Well, I hope you will agree with me that this virtue is as powerful as I've tried to illustrate. Because the good news is that the quotation ends with the words, just as in fact you're doing. Are we encouraging enough? Are we encouraging individuals and others enough? I think we probably are, but as always, we can always do a bit better. Encouragement builds us up. It makes us feel good. And provided that it happens regularly, then goodness will be one of the hallmarks of this church family. Earlier, I said I hope that in some cases, fellowship might become friendship. And I'm reminded of Jesus' words in John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. That is an amazing passage. And although we aren't Jesus' servants in that sense, we're certainly in fellowship with him. But if we really work at it and get to know him, we become his friend and he is our friend. We are Jesus' friends. What an encouraging promise we have. And that encourages us to aim for friendship out of all fellowship. And I pray that you may turn some of your fellowship relationships into friendships. But above all, encourage one another, just as in fact you are doing. I think you're all amazing. Amen.